Finally, in this session, let us take a brief look at foreign currency gains. If a taxpayer holds money in a bank, he technically has a chargeable asset for CGT purposes. It is not possible for a taxpayer to make a chargeable gain if his cash is held purely in sterling. However, if a taxpayer makes foreign currency gains, i.e., fluctuations in exchange rates are such that a capital profit arises, such a profit may be chargeable to UK capital gains tax. Foreign currency is only treated as an exempt asset if it was acquired for personal expenditure outside the UK. Individuals who hold foreign currency for investment purposes and who make profits on exchange rate movements will be liable to capital gains tax on those profits. When a taxpayer withdraws foreign currency from his account, a capital gain or loss will arise. In essence, what the taxpayer is doing is selling his foreign currency in exchange for UK sterling. Prior to 2010-11, it was common practice to use the share pooling rules in order to calculate foreign currency gains. However, HMRC have confirmed that the correct treatment is to treat the disposal of foreign currency from a bank account as if it were the disposal of any normal asset. So, when currency is added to an existing account, this is treated as enhancement expenditure. If only part of the currency is withdrawn from an account, this should be treated as a part disposal. The normal A over A plus B part disposal calculation should be carried out to determine the allowable cost. Let's look at how we calculate foreign currency gains by working through an example. Mr. O'Neill is UK resident. On the 1st of January 2010, Mr. O'Neill opened a UK bank account with £100,000. The cash in the account was immediately converted to euros. He added a further €50,000 on the 1st of March 2010. Interest was credited to the account on the 31st of December 2010, and interest totaled €8,000. On the 1st of June 2011, Mr. O'Neill withdrew €66,000 from the account and converted them back into sterling. Our requirement is to calculate Mr. O'Neill's gain or loss on the sale of these €66,000. The other information we need to calculate the gain or loss is the exchange rates at the date of the respective events. These should now be appearing on your screen. To calculate Mr. O'Neill's gain or loss, we must identify the sterling proceeds and then deduct the relevant sterling costs. On the 1st of June 2011, Mr. O'Neill withdrew €66,000 from the account. He is effectively selling them by converting them into pounds sterling. The exchange rate in June 2011 was €1.15 for every £1. Therefore, €66,000 would have been sold for £57,391. These are Mr. O'Neill's sale proceeds for CGT purposes. To calculate his capital gain, we need the base cost of the euros sold. Mr. O'Neill acquired his euros on three different dates: in January 2010, in March 2010, and in December 2010. He opened his account in January 2010 with £100,000 sterling. At an exchange rate of €1.40, this bought him €140,000. In March 2010, he acquired a further €50,000, which at an exchange rate of €1.30 to £1 would have cost him £38,462. At this point, Mr. O'Neill has €190,000 in his account. The final acquisition of euros was on the 31st of December 2010, when interest was credited. €8,000 were credited to the account. When converted at an exchange rate of €1.25 to the pound, the sterling equivalent is £6,400. He now has €198,000 with a total sterling cost of £144,862. We now need to apply the part disposal formula to work out how much of the cost we can offset against the current disposal. The A in the formula is the value of the euro sold, which we've already established is £57,391. The B in the formula is the value of the euros retained. Mr. O'Neill sold 66,000 of his 198,000 euros, so 132,000 remain. Using the exchange rate of 1.15 euros for every £1, 132,000 euros are worth £114,783. So, the cost available to offset in our gain calculation is calculated by applying the formula as shown on the screen. We deduct this from the sales proceeds of £57,391 to give a capital gain on sale of £9,104. We shall complete this session by attempting two practice questions. The correct answer to the question is answer C. St. Peter's Limited is a non-resident person. The company is trading in the UK through a permanent establishment. The company sells a UK asset which is used for the purposes of its trade. In this instance, the gain will be taxable under Section 10B of TCGA 1992. When Section 10B applies, the company making the gain, in this instance St. Peter's Limited, is chargeable in the UK and it will pay UK corporation tax on this capital gain. The first thing we need to do is to calculate the company's capital gain on the sale of the property in August 2010. Here we simply take proceeds, less cost, less indexation allowance. Note that as we are calculating a capital gain made by a company, we do take account of indexation allowance. Nassau Limited is a non-resident company which is controlled by less than 5 shareholders. Therefore, any gains made by the company are apportioned back to the shareholders in accordance with their interests in the company. As Victoria owns 7% of the shares, 7% of this capital gain is attributed to her under Section 13. In this instance, Victoria is deemed to have more than 10% of the shares, as we take account of shares held by associates when considering this 10% test. David is associated with Victoria as they are husband and wife. As David owns 90% of the shares, Victoria, together with her associates, has more than 10% of the shares, so she is caught by Section 13. The gain attributable to Victoria will therefore be £4,390. Note in this example that if David and Victoria were not married, i.e. they were not associated, none of the company's gain would be taxed on Victoria under Section 13. This concludes this second lecture on special rules relating to overseas capital gains.